Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome
to season two of the Talk Shop.
Yeah!
That it's was been way long, louder than you said you were going to be
long
when
time,
we did the mic.
It's season two. I'm hyped. I'm hyped. I'm hot in the building.
Who has the day count of how long it's been since the last episode?
16 years.
That
roundabout.
Seems...
if you want, round up, 15 and a half.
Nobody talks to me outside of this podcast. I have a lot to say about a lot of things. Have
Perfect.
You heard about this, President Trump?
Can you do his off? Voice for us, please?
It's me, Donald Trump.
There you go. That's pretty accurate.
Callback jokes already in season two, ladies and
no
gentlemen.
No one's going to. It's been too long.
No, nobody remembers. Everybody's like, who are these people?
Well, it's good to see you boys again.
Yes.
Because otherwise, I would never see you ever.
That's actually not a lie. I want to make it very clear. We have not been in the same room since the last episode. Not all three of us at the same
That's
time.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Obviously, combinations.
Yes.
Have been in the same
Seeing
room.
As I live with Tom.
And so do I. You just don't know about it yet.
Oh, I know about it. We just pretend we don't know about it. It's really more for you than anything else.
You mean I'm not invisible? I'm so sorry.
You have some potions to return, I guess.
Everything
there's just
Coke.
A plastic bottle of Coke, but somebody's duct taped invisibility potion. And I've been drinking it every morning. It was a rude.
This stuff
no
works
one will
great.
Ever know. How did I get away with robbing the bank?
You didn't. They're on their way.
Damn it.
Well...
What? Hoisted by my own petard.
It's been a while, boys.
It has.
Season two.
The world has
that?
Turned.
Do we just,
arbitrarily.
We're just calling it season, like we just cut it off. This is season two now?
Yeah.
This
I think anytime we go.
Do we need a reason?
Do podcasts traditionally have seasons?
We're still, we will.
We're blazing a trail here, the first ones?
I don't think that's the case.
I think we're literally the first podcast ever, actually. I'm not sure.
I don't.
I've
never heard of a podcast with seasons, though.
I think I've seen it before. Maybe.
Name one.
We're getting a nod from
we have
our producer.
Yeah. I just want to make it very clear, special for season two, we are filming in front of a live studio audience. This is when the applause...
Yeah! Yeah.
We're stepping up production.
Oh, what? Sam, the hat's coming off.
We need like a sign that says applause and laughter.
Yeah. I was actually just about to start making notebook. Is there a pen?
Here you go.
Who does homework?
Okay. Oh, that's Shay's notebook.
Can
He's
I just tear out one page?
Your rear.
Can I just one page? Shay,
do it quietly.
Shay,
no,
if you don't want me to tear out one page of your notebook, say stop right now.
I guess you're good.
I gave
you're
her
good.
A chance.
I guess fun? You're good.
I practically asked permission.
Well, a lot has happened since our last podcast.
Yep.
In the world.
In the world, yes.
In the entire
the
world,
place in which we live.
Transpired.
Yes, events
have
come to pass.
I feel like if we could go back in time, I feel like we were in such an innocent world the last time. Like, yeah, we had some jokes about President Trump. He, he, he. It was all in good fun. Now he's in a verbal tit for tat with old North Korea.
Yep.
It happens.
It does happen.
It did happen.
What are you supposed to do? Just let that guy walk around with his stubby little arms acting like he owns the place?
Tiny hands.
Wouldn't that make you mad?
Do we have a side-by-side hand comparison?
Who does have the big hands?
And Donald Trump.
I don't know about you, but my respect for a person is based completely on the size of their hands.
It's hard to argue with that. It's what the caveman did. It's good enough for me.
It is? Huh. I got to brush
Who
up on my archaeology.
You know, we make jokes, but seriously, back in the caveman, I bet there was something like, how big is your penis? And that, you know, the biggest penis was seen as a leader.
Why'd you jump to penis from hands?
You got something on your mind, Sam?
I've got something on my hands. No.
He's not joking.
No, because I was going to tie it to the election, where we did actually have presidential candidates.
Talking about their dick size.
Yes, talking about their dick size.
Absolutely.
That's what, it's gone full circle. Like... I want you to really think about that sentence. And I know at this point it's been almost a year since the election.
Yep.
But I still want you to really think about that sentence. We had grown men over the age of 45 running for the most powerful position on the planet. And instead of talking about policies or the change they wanted to, we had...
They talked about the important stuff.
let's put it this way.
They finally had an election that spoke to the issues.
Let's put it this way.
The ones we're all
If you were
about.
To wind the clock back, how long ago... was the last time that a group of people used their penis size as a legitimate reasoning for their ability to lead.
In the world?
In the world.
Yesterday.
Okay.
In my house.
In an actual... I mean, in an actual sort of run to establish leadership. When was the last time? Was it caveman days?
Whenever we had the first king of England.
He was... They all got in the circle.
That was what the Knights of the Round Table actually was. All right,
King George, you're up. Good for you, man. Good luck.
Nice.
No homo, but... Very
I would good. Not liest with thou. But unsheathing thy sword is most impressive. Verily.
Indeed.
This is what you came back for, folks.
Yep, this is it. The long-awaited return.
Did you miss us?
I'll write that segment as penis jokes, comma, and then the next segment.
Excellent.
All right, well, we might as well do
segments
the...
now? Is that a season two feature?
We should do segments, I think. I was just thinking about that. All right. Should each... And this is going to be some sausage making here.
Yep.
On the podcast, but we should each pick a segment and do it every week.
Okay.
Just so there's like consistency.
Sounds good to me.
You heard it here first, viewers.
All right, let's do it.
Put a little froyo in the yogurt.
And by viewers, I mean listeners.
Okay.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead right into the music book club thing?
Yeah.
Remember that, everybody?
Remember that thing we did that
time? In July when we were going to listen to an album and talk about
that album you probably didn't listen to 4 months ago?
Remember that segment that was never popular? Well, that's sticking around.
Because we like it and this is our show.
Let's not go track by track. I think it drags too much when we do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's just talk about the whole.
Sounds good to me.
And even if you have a history with it, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What's your history with this album, Sam? Yeah.
The history of this album. I actually heard this album for the first time when I was in the military.
And this is...
As it were.
The God and Devil Are Raging Inside Me by the band.
I think it's The Devil and God Are Raging Inside
I'm
Me.
Sorry about that. The devil and God.
I believe
that
it's the devil and God. Somebody didn't do their homework 3 months ago.
I was just putting God first, so.
I remember actually I walked in and I liked Brand New from Deja Entendu, which was just an incredible.
Said
a great,
no one ever.
No, that album was huge. That album was gigantic. And
how do you fit in your CD player?
That one.
Hi-oh!
I'm not even mad about that. That was actually pretty good.
Sir, I have no sheep.
I tried holding up a clap sign.
Our studio audience.
We gotta hire more sheep. We need
tough crowd.
Sheepier sheeple. But I remember walking into the AFES, the PX, and seeing a new Brand New album, because this was like when the internet was probably pretty big, but I didn't have it on my phone.
Yep.
And it didn't ever occur to me to Google a new Brand New album. Matt, cameo of the night. I'm assuming I haven't seen a face yet.
Yeah, I think it's Matt.
Yeah, that's Matt.
It's a very Mattish arm.
Is that Matt?
Yeah, that's him.
He's wearing an Honor Society shirt.
That's
established
a rich
in 1921.
One.
Is that when you were born, Matt?
Good luck with buying a new house. All right. Anyway. and I remember seeing it and I picked it up and it blew my mind then. Now, I was going through a very rough time because I'd been injured. I won't go into it too much. I was injured in the military early on. And they did this great thing where instead of doing something useful with me, they left me in the schooling kind of environment, the military education environment. Where literally day on and day off, I would pull something called Fire Guard, which was just you sit at a desk and you weren't allowed to do anything but stare at a wall for 24 hours. And I would get a day on, day off. I did that for 4 months. I always joke around and tell people I was a very normal person before that. it was a weird time. So anything that was entertaining or value, I especially appreciated. And that album kind of defines that time along with The Killers, Sam's Town.
Yep.
Those are the two albums that I most closely associate to that time. And funny enough, Maroon 5, I don't even remember the name of the album. The one with Misery on it.
I didn't peg you for a Maroon 5 fan.
I really liked the first album. I still stand by the first album is okay. They've gotten nothing but worse since then. But, you know, listen to the first album and it's okay. You're not going to see God when you listen to it, but you'll appreciate some smooth beats.
That's smooth good enough
beats,
for me.
Huh?
Those three albums, though, define that time. The Devil and God, most definitively so. Because, as you now know, it's a very angsty album.
Yep.
And it was the only album that could really match the angst of that time.
It was on your level.
So, yes. When I first listened to that album, during like the angstiest years of your life, in like the early teenage years, where you know
life sucks, girls. I hate everything. My parents are so overbearing.
Do you ever feel like breaking down?
So, at that time, it did speak to me. But again, upon re-listening, it didn't have quite the same effect.
I was the one that suggested it. And I still stand by the first two or three songs. I think they're very solid. Jesus Christ, some of those songs.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how boring it was. From pretty much the third song, or the fourth song to the end. I was pretty much bored.
It was, for me, it was like the second third, or the last third of the album, I should say, that was, that kind of like was drag. It was a, it's kind of a long album too, it like is. Longer than a normal album. And not just by like one or two songs, it's like an hour and a half or something. Yeah. And I liked it a lot. I thought, so I wrote this down because it's been so long. It sounded like so many different things. It didn't just, you know, it didn't sound like, if you were explaining it to someone, you couldn't say, oh, it's like the Killers, but X, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It's like, it was like Nine Inch Nails, the Killers, Modest Mouse.
Yeah.
I don't know, like Led Zeppelin or something. Because there's a lot of, and that's more just like the sound. I really like the way they've recorded and mixed and mastered that album. Like the sound of the instruments is really cool.
It's so funny that you say Modest Mouse, and only because I was listening to their new album. Which isn't super relevant, but I was thinking there's something about the way that they compose their songs that reminds me a lot of Modest Mouse, but I can't think specifically of what. And I thought that was just something I thought, so it's funny that you just randomly say that.
Yep. A lot of the songs were paced really weird, and I don't mean that as a bad thing, but it wasn't like a traditional, like if you were to just pick a genre for Brand New and say alternative rock or something, it doesn't do it justice at all. And I guess that genre is kind of vague anyways, and a lot of the bands in that genre couldn't be like, like you can't pigeonhole them. But it was a really, the way those songs flowed was really interesting, and it didn't really sound like anything else song structure-wise. I thought I had a really cool sound.
Yeah.
I thought their vocalist did a nice job for the most part. Mm-hmm. There are moments where it's him just whining into a microphone. Yeah. Like,
I'm not your friend! That's almost like part of the charm of it, though. It's like when you go see a B movie from the 1940s, 1950s. You know what you're getting with Brand New. You know that you're going to get him whining a little bit into it, and it's just part of their sound.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Just like with the Killers, they just released a new album, and I mean, they have that song "I'm the Man," and he's even like, "I'm the Man," and you're like, "No other band could get away with this, but okay, it's Brendan Flowers, whatever. It's the Killers. They can do that. It's the same thing with Brand New." That's just part. That's his voice isn't, you know, the best bands, they make their vocalist an instrument.
Just a whiner.
They did that one thing that I hate that a lot of bands do, where they have a song in the middle that's just like a non-song. It's just like ambient noise for 90 seconds. Who's that for? What do you think that adds to the final product? Do you
I'd like
that
to see anyone... a music festival of just that.
Yeah,
just everyone in the just middle. Shows up and there's just like weird do ambient think... noises, and they're like, what?
You should I'm never. Sure that's what an EDM festival is.
You should
but,
never.
But they have a beat though. Like they have.
You should never put anything on an album that you wouldn't play for someone.
Yeah. Well, it adds to the atmosphere. It's like a horror movie. You have the fog and the darkness.
But the
it's
atmosphere,
supposed to put you in a mindset.
The atmosphere doesn't have to be alongside the actual music. Yeah. Add the atmosphere into your music.
I can think of a few. I can think of on AFI, there's a few times that it's been done that I think it adds to the next song. It can work. Sometimes they're just too long.
I mean, like...
Blink 182 has one.
That like, I there's a... I mean, on Meloria.
The down interlude.
Oh yeah, that's
I think that gets good. You right. That gets you vibing.
On
that's a little funky though.
On that Ghost album before Cerise, there's that
and that's really good.
Like the
too.
String plucky kind of thing. But that's like musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a point there.
It's not just like a sustained note for 10 seconds and then another sustained note for 15 seconds and then someone going,
but Brand New
think of and then the next song starts.
Brand New do think of themselves as artists though. They're not a pop band.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure that they would sit down and desperately insist that they're anything but. They're making a statement, and to add music to that interlude would ruin that statement, if I had to guess. In defense of it. I'm with you. I skip
no,
it completely, every time.
No, I mean, I get what they're trying to accomplish. I just think that it doesn't do anything for anyone.
You know, but some of that is lost. Like, you have to remember when Brand New came up, and you guys were old enough to be listening to music when this happened. It used to be, you
is
know, before Spotify...
An age of consent.
I'm sorry. You think you're better than me?
Yes, but that's besides the point.
All right.
Before Spotify and all that, and our studio audience, I know would especially appreciate this because we came up in the same schoolyard. You used to buy an album, and you had your Discman, and you would play that from beginning to end. And usually, you would be in your very angsty teenage, and you would be like sitting in the corner of your room with the headphones on, and you'd be just feeling it. And
all those
those interludes worked very well in that time zone, or when you're driving.
Okay.
Or you know, if you got a CD, if you were rich and had a CD player in your car. Just kidding.
Dating yourself.
I drove a Geo Metro with a literal hole in the passenger side. Our studio audience can confirm that too because they rode in it. And it wasn't great for dates. It definitely didn't have a CD player, but nowadays I'll vibe out to music pretty good. I have to say something about the Geo Metro that blew my mind. I was thinking about it actually.
Sure.
It was my first car and it would burn oil. It would cook oil. Like I had to carry oil with me in my back seat. And every time I stopped, I'd have to check the oil level and put more oil in because it would cook it off. I thought that was just how cars worked. So when I got my first grown-up car that I paid for and bought myself, I still had oil in the back seat. And I would still pull over every once in a while and check the oil level. And I can remember calling my sister and being like, this car is crazy. You should see its oil. It just keeps it for days. I can't burn through it.
That's actually hilarious. You've never heard the phrase burning oil before?
No.
Like you just thought that's...
Okay. I'm not a smart person, Corey. No, fair enough. I can almost guarantee you that my dad sat down with me, looked at me in the eyes and was like, son, this is not a normal thing, but you have to check this oil. Typically, it doesn't happen in most vehicles, but this is a cheaper first vehicle. And I was literally like in it, you know, the clown with one eye going this way. And I was just like, yeah. Getting through it.
Do you want to talk about it?
I would love to talk about it. Are we done? The brand new album, Angsty, good.
I liked it.
I would give it a solid. In retrospect, if I'm not having nostalgia, I would give it a 6 out of 10. With nostalgia, I mean, it's one of my 10 out of 10 albums, but I can't stand by that anymore.
All right.
I was honestly bored. I was genuinely bored listening to it.
I think, like we said earlier, the first few tracks are really solid. Like the intro track is really good. But yeah, it drags. It's very angsty. Way angstier than I remember it being.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If you're looking for something, if they're in that kind of mood, or if you happen to be a younger angsty person, you might enjoy it. But
I would say it's timeless. Like, I don't think it's aged. So I think that if you're still going through that adolescent kind of period or a time in your life where you really just need that kind of mirror to reflect off of, I think that it could really hit you there. I think that it works very well for that. But if you're in a better place in life and you don't particularly need it, it's very, very tedious to get through. Just like listening to somebody who's going through something like that, if we're being real.
Oh, are you trying to try to
like, have you ever had a really good friend that's going through a breakup?
Yeah.
And I feel like I can make fun of this because I've been the friend that was going through a breakup that drove all of my friends crazy. All right. It's something that you have to go through. But if you ever really, and it's not like the first time you sit with them and you try to talk to them about it. I'm talking about like the second month in where you pick them up and you're like, let's go get some ice cream. And they get in there and they're like, oh, I miss her.
You're Nicole's favorite.
And you're like, get the fuck over it.
But she loved ice cream.
That's what listening to this album was like. That's how I'd rate it. It was sitting next to that friend that wants to talk to you about that
analogy.
For the 100th time.
It's a great
See, I was going
analogy.
Somewhere with that. Anyway, it. Oh my God, favorite movie of the year so far.
It was, I mean, it's the only one I've seen in the theater this year.
Yeah,
but it was an excellent movie. I liked it a lot. I really highly recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
So you both read the book, though, right?
Yes.
How does it hold up compared?
I was honestly satisfied with how it carried.
I was too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of. I mean, the book is like legendarily long. Like it's like a meme how long that book is. Like everyone just knows that it's like 1,200 pages. It's ridiculous. But
and unnecessarily so.
But
I would say.
What was that?
Unnecessarily so. It didn't need to be that long.
To an extent, yeah. But there's a lot of really, really cool nuances and characterizations that happen. And the progression of the characters, I won't say much more than that. But the way that the characters progress over the course of the movie seems paced weird, kind of like 0 to 100 kind of thing. But that's just the nature of having to make a 2-hour movie out of a 70-hour long audiobook. That's just, you got to cut some of the fat away. There was a lot of stuff with like the kids bonding with each other and all the stuff they went out and did and experiences they had that was really cool. That added a lot to them as characters that also had to get cut out.
But I thought they covered it very well.
They did, yeah, absolutely.
I loved the way they did characterize
this. This isn't really a criticism of the movie.
Yeah,
I see. This is just kind of like a comparison of the two.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And one of them just objectively had way more material to work with than the other one. And unless you want to try to make like a It Part One first half and then make It Part One Part Two.
Because this movie is the first part, I heard.
Yes.
They're making a second one.
Yes,
they're adults, right?
And whereas the book, the timeline jumps back and forth between like the adults remembering their childhoods and then the stuff happening back in the 60s, whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just like all the first timeline, and then the next movie is going to be all the next timeline.
And I think it's way stronger for that.
I agree.
I think that the fact that they just told the story of the kids made the movie almost, it boosted it into a timeless. I loved it, first of all, because it wasn't even really a horror movie.
No, it
was more like a dark adventure movie.
I agree.
Definitely a coming of age. I don't need to be a genius to say it was a coming of age story. I mean, built into the DNA of the story.
Roger Ebert.
let me adjust my glasses. Did you know that this was about transitioning into adulthood? Remix.
He's doing his.
I've actually become concerned with myself. I'm not gonna lie. I've Googled developing a stutter at 30.
He's doing his Bill impression.
That's something.
Bill is a character in the movie that has a stutter.
I see. I have not.
That
seen
is something
the movie,
that needs to be addressed. The absolute worst delivered line of the entire movie is the first line.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, we're in the. Oh, we also have to talk about what happened when we were watching the movie.
Oh yeah.
So we're in there. We're watching the movie, and you know, it's like. Literally, the first 30 seconds of the movie is like this pouring rain, and there's a kid sitting in his room with his little brother, and they're just like setting ambiance, like setting the tone. And then I forget what the line was.
He's like, "Aren't you gonna?" The little one's like, "Aren't you gonna come with me?" And he's like, "I can't. I'm dying."
Yeah, and it was, and I was like, "Woo, here we go."
I'm not even delivering it as bad as it was delivered.
I'm
sitting in my seat like, it's going to be a doozy. Yeah. Like, it was the worst acting of the entire movie.
I felt my stomach drop. Oh, boy. But from there on, suddenly all the kids become Shakespearean-level talented.
They were, like, they weren't just good for kid actors. Like, their performances were good.
Hmm.
Which, yeah. Usually kids can really take you out of a movie because they are...
No, they actually sold
it. Bad actors.
Each one of them,
but,
straight up sold it.
They were really perfect for their characters.
And
then so we were watching the movie, and we're what, like 6 minutes in, 7 minutes in,
10-15 minutes in.
Was it that much?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got past the whole first.
No, you're right.
They were in the school. Now you do have to set this up. The whole time we'd been sitting there, there'd been people walking around.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of movement in the theater.
Was this the day after release?
This was the Friday. It came out on a Thursday. We went and saw it on a Friday.
Yep. So we're in like the big whatever the ultra screen, which is a scam. It's just the normal movie projected on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
And there's
the big
curved
screen.
And there's like big but it doesn't fill the whole screen either.
Yeah, I know.
They just project the normal movie on a bigger screen.
A curved
but don't
screen.
Change the size of the picture and go ultra screen. Come pay more.
Yeah, exactly. I saw, I think,
Ridiculous.
Star Wars.
These are the issues that need to be addressed.
Ridiculous. There's also a spot on the screen.
Trump.
Oh, once you notice
there's
that,
there's a stain on the screen.
Not
GG, it's over.
Did someone throw a drink at it?
In defense of the theater, there you had the option for the same price as a regular movie going down the hall, into like these really comfortable reclining, basically, couch chairs.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, because for the time we wanted to go, it wasn't playing in that screen.
Ooh, too bad. All right, anyway, so we're sitting watching.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this theater. People kind of walking around all over. Theater's packed. And you buy individual seats. Like, you know, K-12. This is my seat.
Right.
Yeah, our theater now, there's no just going in. You have to reserve your seat. You either reserve it ahead of time or when you go in, you pick it from a screen.
Which is actually great.
Yes.
By the way.
Except for when people don't sit in their seats.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting watching the movie 10-15 minutes in and the movie pauses. And we're all like, what? Like, everyone's like, what the heck's going on? And then the lights turn on and we're like, fuck. And then this lady comes in. She goes, no, don't worry. There's nothing wrong with the movie. There's just a lot of people not sitting in their seats. They stopped the movie because people weren't sitting in their seats.
All right. Well, that's a little
that's ridiculous. Triggering.
So then there were people with tickets. There were actually still, even after that, there were people pulling out their tickets and arguing about it over the seats. Like, this went on for probably a good another 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
People fighting about what seat they were supposed to be
in. It was extremely annoying.
Nice.
Was that the second time you saw it, by the way?
It's a letter and a number. Okay. I mean,
that was the first time I'd seen it.
Yep.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The people that were fighting over seats that couldn't figure out the letter and the number and where they were supposed to sit, these are the people that got Donald Trump elected. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you feel the need to fight about a theater seat 15 minutes into a movie and you can't figure out who's supposed to be there, I'm going to totally believe that you were the one who was like, well, we need a change in the White House.
Yeah, so even despite all of that, I had a great experience, and it was a fantastic movie. It was a great movie. I can't wait to watch it again.
5 scary clowns out of 5.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Was also one of the funnier movies I've seen in a while.
It was. It had everything. Yeah. Like, everybody focused on the fact that it was a scary clown, which I've never... I'm not afraid of clowns. I've never seen that.
No, me neither.
But that being said, his performance... I want to say it's Bill Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
Yep. It's a hard name. Is it Bill, though? Bill
Yes, yes.
So I can just say Bill and I can get away with it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Billy.
Bill, old Billy Boy's performance, in my opinion, is the most captivating, best character performance in a movie since the Joker in The Dark Knight.
I'm a little... I mean, he had a fantastic performance. Mm-hmm. But I kind of imagined he would be a little more, like, jovial. Like, a little more charismatic.
Well, then fight me, bitch.
And that's, like, kind of how he gets... That's how he, like, entices people in, you know? But he's just, like... He's not enticing at all.
Well, here's what I loved about that. Because, yes, I think that was a choice.
Oh, of course.
What I loved about that was, like, okay, you watched... I did watch the... we've been a little slow at work. I did watch the original It on YouTube, basically.
Okay, yep.
And that was just a clown that happened to eat people.
Yes.
Okay, that was just...
Too far on the other side.
Yes, he was just a clown that happened... You were like, okay, why are you eating people? That's very odd.
Yep.
What I loved about old Billy Boy's performance was that he felt like something ancient and very evil and very predatorial that was trying to figure out the way a clown should be.
Yes.
And it was alien.
Everything, because he's not a clown. He's something pretending to be a clown.
Yes, and that was great. Yep. I loved that. And that's hard to do. Like, don't knock that.
No, I'm not. Like, not at all.
That was... I've watched his interviews and stuff.
Don't you knock my clown boy.
And that everything he did was a very concentrated choice.
Yep.
He approached the character. He came at it. He said he wanted to come out with a lot of hatred. Like, it hates kids.
Yes.
Not just we wants to eat them. Like, he has actually a hatred. And you see that. You see this animosity in the things he's doing.
I agree.
I need to see it again.
I would love to see it.
I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Let's go right now. Screw season 2. We're putting it off. We're going to see It. My wife is going to love that because I was supposed to be home an hour ago when I tell her that I'm going to a movie.
Sam!
You're good with the baby. Daddy's got to see Becca, a movie again.
This isn't... Don't put this on us. Don't let him try to blame me and Tom for this.
Yeah.
This is all his
choice.
They're
making me. I don't even want to go. That's how the phone... I'm going to call myself out. That's how the phone conversation will go. It's Rob's birthday, babe, and I'm just, you know, I've got to go. It's for Rob. And then she'd hear this, so, you know, 3 weeks later, guys, let's go see the movie. We're not really going to see it, I assume. But I would.
I would.
Another day.
Sounds like you're not very dedicated to this. So.
Speaking of good movies, though, have either of you seen the movie Logan Lucky?
I have not.
No, it was the kind of thing that I would Redbox for sure.
I think it would be worth a Redbox. I saw it in theaters, and it doesn't really... I mean, it's not one of those movies that's like, it'll blow your mind if you see it in theaters. But it's the guy who made the Oceans movie, and it's pretty much an Oceans movie, but with rednecks.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But the best part is Daniel Craig's in it, and he has a southern accent. Blonde hair.
I'm sold. I'm in.
Yeah. And it's one of the silliest things I've ever seen in my life.
You had me at Daniel. I didn't even care if it was Craig. I just really like Daniels.
I also have a recommendation. I watched a new series that went up on Netflix called American Vandal.
That was great.
You watched it too?
Dude, I'm up with the baby like all night every night.
Don't spoil I just seen the first episode and I thought it was hilarious.
Can I tell you what's great about American Vandal from my perspective?
What's that?
Is that I didn't know the joke. I thought that it was like another Making a Murderer series.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be like that. So I put it on while I was watching the baby. And it took me probably 15 minutes to get in on what they were doing. They play it so straight. I was like,
you know what's funny? I knew the joke from the start. But when I was watching it, I kept getting sucked into it and I kept forgetting that what I was watching didn't happen.
It's actually legitimately compelling.
No, and it's the writing is so good.
Yeah.
Because none of the investigation isn't real. None of the clues or twists that the story takes aren't real. They wrote them all.
Yeah.
But they're all so well written. Like, it makes a genuinely really compelling mystery.
I also liked the super crappy audio for like the school district video that they took, and like they got a bunch of really good details.
It felt like it was a legit crazy story.
The presentation deserves an award.
Yeah.
The production deserves, like, honestly, Emmy level.
I had so much fun watching it.
I did,
It was
too.
Such a... Excellent surprise.
My favorite is when they're sitting there in the production room, and by this point you know that it's not real. But they're sitting there in the production room and they're like, look at these dicks. No hairs.
No ball hairs.
And the other one's like, the ball hair. And like,
and the head's so good. Wrong.
He's like, yeah. He's
the
like,
mushroom head.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I was like, whoever wrote this, it's in that same vein as like Rick and Morty, where it's so stupid, but it's done so intelligently that you just like.
Actually, from the first episode, sorry to interrupt, but when he goes to deliver that guy's food, it's just random. He's like, did you eat my fries? And then there's a pause. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that I loved that because I used to eat people's pizzas. I would deliver their pizzas.
So for people who don't know, it's basically a Making a Murderer style. Like, it's like a mockumentary, like a fake like crime investigation documentary about trying to acquit a kid that got expelled from school for spray painting dicks on 27 cars.
And facing $100,000 in charges.
Yep.
And it, I'm not kidding. Forget that you heard that and go into it. Some of the most compelling television.
No, it's really good.
I love that they I got so sucked into that story. Making the Murder intro too.
Yeah.
They just ripped it off like almost
one. I got so sucked into that and I knew it wasn't real and I still cared so much about like, it was funny because it's like an episode will end on a twist. Like something they find.
Every
like,
time.
What did they find? I don't care that it didn't happen or that someone just made it up.
You just want to know the truth, man.
It impacted me like it was a real thing that happened. And that's what I loved about it. It was, I really did. Highly recommend that.
It was one of those shows that I was sad when it was over.
I'm so glad that you watched it.
I did, and I loved every second of it.
I'll probably continue watching it tonight because it was just so good.
It's worth it.
Please do.
It's worth your time. It's very good. Oh, man. What next, boys?
What next?
There's a lot to talk about.
Well, you had a kid.
I did have a kid.
I guess that should have come up earlier, maybe.
I wasn't going to be the douche.
That was a pretty important change in
your life. I wasn't going to be the douchebag that was like, let's talk about me now.
What's your Sam Center TM brand condensing of fatherhood? What's your like? If you could condense it down into one paragraph or sentence.
You are scared all the time, but yet you're still trying to make every second of it fun, is how I would condense fatherhood. I'm very glad that I had a baby at 30 and not 20. Respect, seriously, if you're listening to this and you had a baby at 18, 20, 16, 22, or let's just say, you know, I went to nursing school and probably half of that were single mothers, new single mothers trying to create a life for their kids. And I don't even know how a single mother works. I don't know how that operation functions because it's super hard with two people. You just don't sleep. You're just kind of, I don't know how I'm here right now. And I kind of already brought up, I shouldn't be here right now, in all honesty. But being at 30, you know, the best thing about it is that people that have their kids young, I think they feel like they've had their life taken from them. They're missing out on something by having a kid early. I didn't have a life anyway, is what I'm getting at. At 30, I mean, every once in a while I'd come over here and make a podcast. And other than that, I watched TV and went on bike rides. That was like my life. So having a baby has only added to my life. And it's great being able to come at that from that perspective, because when she is crying at 3 a.m, it's not like, oh, now she needs this. It's, what else is she going to take from me? I was going to be, you know, a cartoonist. It's her fault that I can't be. It's like, oh, my baby needs me. It's fun. That's not to say, you know, you're not like, please go back to sleep. But it's crazy. The entire birth experience is crazy. And it changes the way you look at everything. The way I've explained the way I view the world now is that I've always been very cynical, very much so the world sucks. And that's still very true. It hurts more now because that's what I'm giving to somebody else. But the twist now is that I wish it wasn't that way. And okay. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Sam has a bright outlook on life now.
Almost.
Almost.
I wish that things were brighter.
He can see the light at the end of the tunnel that is his outlook on
life. I'll just say this. I smiled at somebody on the street the other day and I didn't even know them.
We're making progress
here. I was just like, hey! And then they robbed me.
Took off of my wallet and my keys and my child.
Cut me right in the jugular.
I'm lucky to be alive.
But gosh darn it, I'm just happier.
No, it was a traumatic birth. She came a month early, and it turned out that the umbilical cord had grown into the side of the placenta. And that's why she was always in the third percentile, which means 97% of babies were bigger than her. She was born right at just about 4 pounds, which is very, very small. But beyond that, she actually came out. I won't get too graphic for the sake of my wife more than anything else. I tell you all about all the blood and nastiness, but
good Lord,
it's not really my business to put out there. It's like me describing my wife naked, which I don't think she'd like. So I'll just say that the baby was trying to come out and kept getting pulled back in. And so they had to get the baby out. So they did. And when it came out, the umbilical cord was actually double wrapped. And I'll tell you what, being in the medical profession, I have a huge amount of respect for doctors. I just do. Some nurses are like, I don't know. I think that there are a lot of nurses that wanted to be doctors and didn't make it. And they come at it with a perspective of, I'm better than you. I've never had that. I chose my profession and I like it.
Good thing you've never worked with anyone like that.
But this baby came out and had the umbilical cord wrapped around twice. And she was purple. I mean, she hadn't been breathing for a long time. This doctor, I just happened to be watching and could see it happen mechanically. She wasn't even fazed. She didn't hesitate. She had the attending push the head back in. She went, bonk, slice, got the cord off. They flopped the baby down. Whenever any of you have a baby, they are way rougher with your child than you would ever be. You're going to get mad because they're like flopping it around like a dead fish. And you're like, I just got that. I'd appreciate some.
You haven't even driven it off the lot yet.
Maybe be a little delicate. They flop it down on the mother's chest because it's just so you know, another thing about when you have a baby, you don't matter as the dad. I just want you to know that. And not like, I wish I mattered. You just don't. It's about the baby and the mom. Mm. 100%. And you have to buy into that. Everything they do is about getting the baby and the mother close and breastfeeding, getting the cycle going. You are just, you're there. to the point where they put their name and they get special bands and all these things. You don't get any of that. You're the dad. you're kind of talked to every once in a while, but all the news is directed to the mother. And that's how it should be. Absolutely. This isn't like a men's activist thing. Like, I want to be part of it too. I feel like sharing experiences through the podcast it can be fun. And just know that it's not, because I feel like, Tom, you're going to get there. I really do. I think. Corey, I imagine you've already been there a few times in Vietnam. We just don't know. I don't think you were there for the births. some of those F1 racing leagues.
Oh, yeah.
I have to imagine it's just like the real Formula One. There are those like blonde bimbo fangirls, except they're all digital.
And they're like, F1 is a very nerdy sport. There aren't that many attractive people who are super into F1.
But there are some.
There are some.
You're one, buddy. Take that to the bank, wink.
Unless I'm wearing a hat.
We discussed this earlier.
But they flopped the baby down, purple, not breathing, not moving. I thought she was dead. And you go through all this, and they're telling you all the risks and everything. You think that it's over. And I was trying to accept the fact that the baby had died. And never mind single mothers, never mind single parents, never mind any of that. To the people that have lost children, babies in birth, SIDS, all these terrible things that can happen. I don't know how you go on, because I felt myself disappearing. I don't know how else to put it. I felt myself disappearing from Earth when I thought that this baby had died. Because you really can't understand how much this little piece of flesh means to you until you have one of your own. People told me that, and I'd be like, oh, I bet I could do it. I'm a poet. But you
Jesus.
But you just can't. I've always told everybody that I felt like I stopped maturing at 22. Mm-hmm. That I was 30, but I felt 22 in my brain. In those seconds where the baby was dead, I felt my age catch up. I felt all 8 of those years slam onto me like the boxes at the end of a level of Crash Bandicoot. And then suddenly she starts crying, and you're like, holy shit, it's alive. And everybody's crying, and you're crying. If you have any kind of soul at all, you're bawling your eyes out. Suddenly you see these eyes look up at you, and it's literally you, and you realize that, because what having a child is you're replicating your genes, and you're passing it forward. And I can say that, and you know that from a textbook level, but when you actually see a bit of yourself mixed with this other person looking back at you, it's like this. I've actually told Rob, our studio audience, when we were out for a walk, that I'd always, like, you watch romantic movies, and you see these really overblown emotional presentations of how you're supposed to feel when you see the girl across the room and the world slows down, music comes on, and all these really strong emotions that the world isn't clean enough for those emotions. It's never that simple. You know what I mean? Anybody who's been in love, you don't feel that way. You feel a version of it, but it's more realistic. being a dramatic person, I've always tried to fake those to try to reach up to that level that the media brings in, you know? Like, you put this pressure on yourself to feel things the way the media presents it. I say that because I can honestly say that when I saw Mercy Lynn, who's my daughter, for the first time, I did not have to fake a single emotion. That was 100% real. It's honestly a love that I really genuinely hope that everybody in this room and everybody listening, if you haven't experienced that, you get to. When the time is right. Don't go and impregnate a prostitute because old Sammy boy told you to.
You're not my real dad.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
When it's right, I hope that everybody gets to experience what it's like to see your child looking back to you, if that's what you want. If you don't, then I'm sure you can get the same amount
sure,
of joy.
Sure, backpedal even more, Sam. Don't take a single stance on anything ever.
It's hard to, because like, just to speak to that, we didn't really try to get pregnant. We didn't super try. And I've been an ass, and I've joked around. I've been like, well, it's easy, when I've been talking to people like, you know that. But I got my ass handed to me, not even in a mean way. Somebody just pulled me aside and told me that they actually are sterile and they can't have kids. And they're like, and just so you know, when you go around talking about how easy it is to have a kid, that actually really hurts deep inside. So I've if I seem like I'm backpedaling, it's because I'm trying to mature a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
And I know that I'm very lucky to have the opportunity to be a parent. And I know that I'm lucky to have had it when I'm 30 and at least 25% ready for it. But I hope that everybody gets to experience some form of what I felt throughout the course of their lives, because I've never had anything like it, and I doubt I'll have anything like it ever again. And that's all I have to say about that.
Vietnam. Well, congratulations, Sam.
Thank you.
Bubba!
Glad it's going well.
That being said, I hope she freaking sleeps tonight. It really would be great to get like 4 hours.
Do you know like an average? What do you average a night?
I'm going to be 100% honest, because I don't. I make jokes kind of at the expense of my wife a lot. I don't build her up as much as I should. So I will say this, because I'm working and Becca doesn't have to, on the nights that I have to go to work, she's very good about cover. I'll try, the general system works, I'll try to stay up till about 2, and I'll try to cover the baby until 2, and then from 2 until 6, when I get up, 2 until 6:30, whenever I have to get up for work, Becca's very good about just handling all of that, and then all day while I'm at work for the 13 hours, and then if I'm working the next day, that whole night again. So that's what I'm saying, where it's already difficult with 2 of us on this system.
Shout out to Becca.
Yeah, seriously, women are crazy. Whoever decided that they were the soft and weak sex needs to watch a birth in real time, where the epidural didn't work, and you see these women become superheroes, squeezing another human being out of their bodies. It's ridiculous. I was just thinking I would have tapped out about 30 seconds into that, and it goes on for hours. So I don't always respect my wife enough as much as I should, so I'm glad that I have it on recording. That much kudos. Good for you. You're a superstar. What else?
Yeah, what else is
what else?
Anyone play any games?
You started a new job.
Yeah, Tom's still working in the labor union. We mentioned it.
Oh, we did before?
It was brand new news, our last one.
Oh, was it? I didn't think we talked about it at all.
I think you were starting. Because I think I even said ominously, like, oh, Tom's starting a grown-up job, so who knows when we'll do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Sure enough, 3 months later.
Yeah, it's
some cynicism pays off again.
It's work, you know.
Now, is this the first time you've had, like, a job like this where, I don't want to call it a grown-up job, but just long hours,
yeah,
physical labor?
Yeah, no, I've been working pretty much part-time all the way up until this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like 60 hours a week, which can be a lot.
That's more than I work. It's harder work than I do, and that's more hours than I work.
It's a lot, but it's, yeah, I don't know.
It's a lot harder work
you don't
than
have to
I
use
do,
your
and
brain.
A lot more hours than I work.
You don't have to use your brain a lot. And I'm not saying that they're dumb, like anybody I work with, and I don't want it to come across like that, but you really don't need to, like, use your brain a lot. You just shut it off and do the work you're told to do, yep. Which is, yeah. But yeah, it's not terrible. You wake up sore some days, but that's about the worst it gets.
Do you feel yourself like adjusting to that? Because it's a new phase in your life. I mean, that was the end of your young adulthood and childhood for sure.
Yeah,
from here on out, you are a grown up. Welcome to the club.
It's not as exciting.
Next
as
step
I thought
is death. Enjoy right. This one. It's a doozy.
That's slow march.
Do you feel like you've adapted well? Do you feel like this is just what you do now, in the same way that you just went to school and now you go to work? Or do you still find yourself being like, I really hope this podcast gets a million?
Oh, subs, I mean, and
I don't have like, to do this anymore.
I don't really have time for the hobbies I used to have time for, you know?
That's what I was wondering about the most with you, because you were a big hobby guy.
Yeah.
Like, you always had all the games and all the cool stuff.
Right, yeah.
And I was always a little jealous. I was like, I wish I had that kind
like,
of time.
When I first started, I was like trying to continue that, and I was like, I'm not going to lose that excitement. And then, so you buy a couple things like you normally would, but then you're just like, you just don't have time or energy to do anything with them, and you're just like, well, maybe I'll just not do that anymore.
I'm still like that with video games. I don't know why, but I still buy video games.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why.
It has to be something that I know I'm going to like.
Do you think that the act of not buying them anymore is like admitting something to yourself?
I had a real sit down with myself. I was like, why do you, I think I have like 12 games at home right now. And the only ones I'll play at all are the ones that are online with friends when I'm free, because to me that doubles as a social activity. Mm-hmm. I will probably never sit down with a single player RPG and put 80 hours into it for myself ever again. I don't have that, but I still buy them. Yep. And I think that's because of that. I think that that's like something I'm holding on to. Like, one day I'll... Or I don't even know how to explain it.
Single-player games haven't done anything for me for a while. I kind of always, when I'm playing a game, be interacting or, like, in a voice chat with someone or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I really don't get much, if any, enjoyment at all of just, like, playing a single-player game by myself in silence. Like,
There'll be once in a while. When I was younger,
there are exceptions. Very few and very far between. Like a Bloodborne for you kind of thing, yeah. Where like just sucks.
Yeah, I don't know that there will ever be another Bloodborne.
Yeah,
for
that.
Me.
But that's the kind of thing it would take for me. Yeah. Like that's
because
yeah.
I remember.
But even Bloodborne
in your
was
young
a social
teenage
game.
Years and yeah. stuff. You can get immersed in pretty much anything.
Yeah,
that has a storyline.
Well, even then, you have a balance too, because you what you do, your day job is going to school and talking to your friends all day.
Yeah,
about the games you're playing.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it's like a.
And I didn't have online games when I was a kid. They were just coming out, but I mean, yeah, that wasn't happening. So it was all single player. And I always have made the argument for media and video games. People say you're wasting your life with it. Actually, those are the things that have always given me access to a social life. My whole life. Now, that's where I spend most of my time with other people.
I always thought saying, like, waste of time was just like a misnomer. Like, just didn't mean anything. Like, I don't think there's such thing as wasting your time if you're doing what you want to do. Now you could say you could take that to the extreme where people are like neglecting their work or their family or their social life or whatever, but that's not wasting their time. That's just like misallocating it. I don't think if you're doing something you like to do, you can be wasting your time. I don't think that's even a thing. I think that's just other people's standards for what you should be doing, which are BS.
I've often said that life is a candy bar and that you have like most of your chocolate bar left. I'm maybe two more bites into mine and I'm seeing the chocolate disappear. And your perspective, like for now, I see time as just a currency. I really do. Every day is money that you spend on and what you care about.
Yep.
Video games, to spend that time for me, it can't just be all I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's done for me. I've tried to sit down with single player games and all I can think about is, okay, with this time I could be doing this and this and this, and those would be way better. So to the extent, you're not wrong. I don't disagree with you. But I think that as you get older, it's not enough just to enjoy what you're doing anymore. It needs to be going somewhere. I don't know how, you know what I mean? It has to be,
I think,
of some kind of actual outside
benefit. But I mean, I would say part of a healthy balance would be like the things you spend your free time on don't have to be part of what is like makes you up as a person.
Absolutely.
Like you could, like it's just it's an amendment to that. Like maybe during the day you know you have a career or whatever, you have a family, you have friends.
And my counter to that is online games. Like I'm playing Destiny 2 with what did we call him when he was on here?
Jack the Garbage Man. Elite Garbage Man.
I'm playing Destiny 2 with Jack the Elite Garbage Man, and I don't consider that time wasted because he's like one of my best buddies right now. And to me that it's just as much of a social interaction as if we were to go and play shot put.
But to go back to what I said, if you were doing it and you weren't enjoying yourself and you didn't know why you were doing it, then I would say you're wasting your time. I think evaluation of your time is a subjective standard. Okay. And I don't think if you really genuinely love what you're doing, that you could be considered to be wasting your time, even if that's just sleeping.
We're saying the same thing, actually. What you're speaking of is, I agree completely with what you're saying. I'm just speaking more to the fact that it's harder to love empty activities the older you get.
Yep.
So we're saying the same thing. Go and do what you love,
extend
audience.
The olive branch.
You have our permission.
And mine. I don't know about Tom.
No, you don't. I want you to suffer at all times.
Listen to us three times.
Two out of three podcasters agree
that you should enjoy your life.
Oh. Anybody got anything else?
Not really.
No.
Oh, we should do Music Book Club for next time.
Oh, yes.
So we actually have a suggestion from our studio audience.
We defer to him now.
And this is an album I don't think any of us
have listened
to.
We go live on the scene.
And actually, I do have something to say about this.
Sure.
Because the studio audience happens to have been one of my closest friends since sixth grade.
Aww.
And it is his birthday. He's crossed into the Dirty 32. It's not his birthday today. I think it was like 2 days ago.
Oh, the 20th. We're posers.
Whatever day it is today. What day is it today? It's the 24th. It was 4 days ago.
This is a facade.
The 20th, he joined the Dirty 30 Club. And on record. He actually also happens to be one of our most loyal listeners, from what I understand. One of the two of you.
I don't know how you do it.
Yep. I don't know why you keep coming back, but thank you. I do want to say, on record, happy birthday. And thank you for being a friend.
From all of us here on the Talk Shop. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday. Go fuck yourself.
I should also say that the studio audience happens to be my brother. I guess that should have been brought up.
Too many Mickelsons in this room.
Now this is like a Game of Thrones episode. I don't know what's going on. I can't keep the characters straight. He's a brother. He's a friend. He's an audience member. What? The plot's too complicated.
What's happening?
It can't all be one person. But anyway, as part of your present, you get to pick what we listen to for next week.
It's the band Low, right? Based out of Duluth, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the album.
Well, that's where we live.
And, yeah, it is. Twin Ports. Represent. Is the album Ones and Sixes?
Ones and Sixes.
Is it on Spotify?
By Low.
I am familiar with Low. I actually like Low as a band.
Is that like L-O-W-E?
Have you heard
that
album?
L-O-W.
L-O-W? Okay.
Huh? I have not. I have not heard Ones and Sixes.
Okay, so this will be fresh for all of us because I haven't listened to it either.
I'm curious. Is it a newer album? Audio member?
The newest, yes.
Their newest one. Oh, I'm actually excited. I haven't listened to them since probably 2006. I'm curious to see where their sound has gone. Murderer by them is one of my
actually, Ones and Sixes?
It's a great song. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Ones and Sixes.
I'm excited. I don't know anything about the band. I know nothing.
It's a husband and a wife, or at least it was.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
It's a surprise, Sam.
All right.
I'm trying to spoil
it to
a surprise.
Yourself, man.
Let me tell you about when I had a baby again.
One more time. We'll go start to finish.
So there I was in the delivery room, and you might not know this, but just word for word.
And I'm here doing all the work, and there's this woman yelling in the corner.
I just, you know, tuned it out. I had to fill out all the paperwork.
The greatest thing was that we'd put in our plan that I was supposed to cut the umbilical cord. And
well, the doctor ruined that for you, didn't he?
Yeah, of course the umbilical cord had been cut. But for whatever reason, because I tried to stick to your birth plan, she still offered me like the severed umbilical cord for like the symbolic nature of it. But the look we gave each other the whole time, we both looked at each other in the eyes and we were like, this is complete BS. And we both know
this
it.
This is a sham. Our life's a lie.
Here you go, question
It was
mark?
Like, here you go. I was like, all right. Like, ironically, it was super ironic. I guess I'll give you the umbilical cord now. Well, I guess I'll cut it. Welcome to the world, little baby.
Wow, so meaningful.
An act of cynicism to christen your new daughter.
And how crazy is it? I've actually thought about this. How crazy is it that your first act as a father is to separate your baby from the mother on an organic level? Like, your first act as a parent is pushing them as far.
Are you coming with me?
You don't belong to each other anymore. You're both mine.
You're on your own, kid.
Your asses belong to me now. Hook your umbilical cord up to daddy.
Lord.
Low, Ones and Sixes.
All right.
I'm ready.
So,
my body is ready.
I guess is this the end?
I guess this is goodbye.
Season 2? Episode 1?
The end of season 2. See you in 6 months. Season 3. I think it was, have we caught up with everybody? Corey's trying to buy a house. I look forward to hearing
much,
how that develops.
Not much going on here.
We got to start the story arcs.
Yeah, we do.
Season 2, we have
I'm
to start
buy
all the
house.
Story arcs.
I'm going to try to get some showings this week. My financing took forever, but that's finally worked out, so I can start making offers and stuff. So that'll be an exciting journey, because I have 36 days to buy a house.
That's I can't wait to hear more about that. I can't wait to hear your perspective, because I got to go on a rant about it.
Yep, you did.
You're going to be like, it's really easy, dude. What's your problem?
Well, the thing, I guess, because well, your experience was like, you literally, like, no offense, knew nothing about the entire process.
It's true.
You knew nothing.
It not was like, even a little bit.
Like,
not even a grain of like sand.
Not even the responsible amount a general adult should have on this subject.
Well, because, so, because you went through it. Now, you know financing is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You go to a bank, they ask for a bunch of information. Yeah, we're going to need the last three tax returns, you know, last six pay stubs, and God knows what else. There was so much crap I had to send them. And then a few days ago, we found that packet they sent me that someone took in the house and didn't deliver to me. It was this giant packet of stuff I had to sign. All of the things I had to sign was like my acknowledgement that they requested information that I already gave them. It was like, signer hereby acknowledges NBC's request for tax returns. It's like, okay, I gave them to you a month ago. Like, this is what I was waiting for. So there was like 20 of those. Yeah, it's just a bunch of garbage.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of hot garbage.
Hot garbage is what I would call the world right now. Season 2: hot garbage.
Yep.
Tune in next time.
Well, because when you go to buy a car, they don't send you to underwriting, right? They pull your credit, they get a pay stub, and they do some math, and they go, "Yes, you can afford this. Have fun." How does that work the same way? It's just another thing that costs more than a car. But surely you can just take a pay stub, do some numbers, and go yes or no.
Yep.
Surely.
You'd think so. But 2006 happened.
Call me Shirley.
And you know how that went. Or 2008. That was it.
It started in 2007. Oh. We split it down the middle.
I saw a movie called The Big Short.
That's a good movie.
Great movie.
Yeah. I watched that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't see that.
What did we learn today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's been so long.
I have a good one, but it was for something that, one, isn't appropriate, and two, didn't even happen on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
All right, save it.
Sam knows what it is. All right. I learned that teen angst makes music 5 times better than it actually is.
That's a good one.
That's a real lesson.
Yeah.
That's not even a joke.
I'm done with jokes, Sam. This is the new Corey.
Season 2,
hard hitting.
Alright, I learned that dads just don't get the respect they deserve when they're in the delivery room.
I'm the one that brought it up and I don't have anything.
Alright.
That's a bold move.
I know. Usually,
this is the hardest part of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's a bold move calling for the what did we learn today, and you've got.
Well, you notice I totally was like, what did we learn today, Corey? And the whole time I was like, what were we going to. I was like, what do we even talk about today? What even was this? I learned that the size of our leaders' hands are going to be what decide the future of the planet.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a
nice
way
save.
Callback.
Yeah,
it was like the first thing we talked about.
Did he land it? 6 out of 10. He gets to carry on to next week. Thank you for coming back, everybody.
Thanks.
Yes, your continued support is much appreciated. As always, feel free to tell your friends.
Feel free to get on Facebook. Tell us what you'd like to hear, what you don't want to hear.
Goodbye.
Kill your dog. Kill your pants. Go.
That was better than the rap.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.